I have over a dozen employees, and none of them are human. You've heard me say that on this show. I've even named them blog and SEO employee, podcast producer, grants and funding manager, speaker booker agent, social media director. Job titles. I gave software job titles. Then I went further than that. I went looking for somewhere they could work together, a place to talk, a way to pass things back and forth and sort out disagreements without coming to me. Team collaboration tools are genuinely useful. It's how serious companies get work done, and it does exactly what it was built to do. I like it. That's why I reached for it. What I hadn't asked myself is whether the thing it was built to do is the thing I actually needed. It's built for a company full of people who can't see each other's screens. I'm one person with a digital workforce. Those are not the same problem, and I was about to spend real time solving the wrong one. I was building my AI employees an office. I built this so I would stop being the person everything runs through, and I was about to hand the work to machines and then build myself a room to sit in and watch them do it. Same life, new staff. So here's what I'm giving you today: how to tell which parts of the way you work are actually holding something up and which parts are leftovers from a world where people couldn't be in two places at once, and a way to run that check on one thing you've already automated in about 10 minutes that will find you hours you didn't know were there. If you're a founder whose business runs through you, if you're a professional who wants to be the one on your team who actually knows how to use this, or if you opened your first AI tool last week and don't know what to point it at, this is the same problem from different chairs. I sit in two of them every week. Settle in. I'm Makita Boehm. I've closed nearly $10 million in tech sales over 4 years, earned seven figures doing it, and here I teach professionals, teams, and founders how to use AI, automations, systems, and agents to create more money, time, and options. AI is moving at the speed of daily, and I help you keep up. Here's the claim, and then I'll back it up. Your existing process is evidence. It is not law. It tells you which jobs actually matter. Somebody researches, somebody writes, somebody checks whether the facts are right. Somebody makes sure it sounds like you, those jobs are real, they survive. What does not survive is the order they happen in, the waiting in between, and every step that exists because one person can't be in two places at once. Think about what an office actually is. It's a solution to a set of problems. People can't see each other's work. People forget what they were told. People are busy at different hours. Every meeting, every handoff, every status update, every approval is a workaround for one of those. A handoff meeting exists to move information from one head into another head. A queue exists because a person does one thing at a time. An approval step exists because somebody wanted to see it before it left the building. None of those problems exist in what you're building. Your AI employees can see everything at once, they don't forget, and they're never busy on Thursday. So if you copy the office over anyway, you're paying for something powerful and installing all the friction it was supposed to remove. Let me name the three ways this happens because all of them look reasonable from the inside. The first is copying the org chart. You give each one a title, a lane, and something above it. It feels organized. What it does is recreate every boundary that makes a traditional, red, non-AI native company slow. The second is buying the workspace. You get them somewhere to talk. Now there are messages to read, and the messages feel like progress. and reading them becomes your job. The third is keeping every approval. Everything routes through you before it moves. That feels safe, and it means the whole system runs at the speed of one person checking things, which is the exact ceiling you were trying to get above. All three end in the same place. You built something that can work while you sleep, and then you gave yourself a night shift. Here's what it looks like when you take the office out. My podcast publishes in 5 languages. 4 of them I don't speak. That takes about an hour of my input in a month, and there is no translation meeting in it. Nobody hands anything to anybody. My blog publishes every day and brings in around 80% of the traffic to my site, and I'm not in that loop at all. The first time I ran real outreach for speaking, 107 pitches went out in minutes, and I ended up slowing it down because it worked faster than I could handle what came back. None of that has a handoff in it. The work doesn't move between employees. They read the same foundation. They do the job, and the finished thing shows up. You can do the same math on your own week. Count how many of your steps exist because information has to travel from one place to another. If your answer is most of them, you're not looking at a process. You're looking at a delivery route. That's the part people miss. If everybody is reading the same source of truth, the handoff was never about coordinating. It was about copying information from one place to another. Take away the copying, and the meeting has no job left. And when it runs right, there's almost nothing to look at. No activity feed, no conversation to follow. Just the thing arriving finished, or one real problem that needs you. That's the part that feels wrong. And I understand why. Watching work move around feels like being in charge. It's the same feeling a status meeting gives you. And a status meeting is the least useful hour in anybody's week. Nothing was moving. Nobody was watching it happen. Let me be clear about what does survive, because I am not telling you to strip every guardrail out of your business. Roles survive. Somebody has to own an outcome, or nobody does. Sequence survives when it's real. So if step 2 gets worse when step 1 is wrong, you check step 1 first. And approvals survive where being wrong is expensive or hard to take back. I have a standing rule on this show that anything carrying my face or my voice gets a yes from me before it goes anywhere. I wasn't as strict as I should have been about this one in the beginning, and it was very jarring to see my face with my voice saying something I didn't 100% vet before, so I put that in on purpose, and it is never coming out. For faceless pages, though, including ones with an AI avatar, it's a different story. You can literally create almost limitless high-quality content. But that's another episode. Anyway, the test isn't whether a step slows you down. It's why it's there. If something real depends on it, keep it. If being wrong is expensive for you, keep it. If your honest answer is that a person used to need it, look again. And if you can't remember why a step is in your process at all, that's your answer. Now put yourself in this. You're the operations lead, with 4 automations that each wait on the one before it, and nobody can tell you why. You're the consultant with an AI that researches and an AI that writes, passing a document between them like 2 people who don't share a drive. You're the team lead with an approval step nobody remembers adding. You're the founder reviewing every exchange inside a system you built so you'd have less to review. Nobody there bought the wrong thing. Everybody there kept the wrong shape. I want to say something about being in charge, because that's what I was reaching for when I started drawing that office, and I had the smallest possible version of it in my head. Being in charge is not sitting above a system watching work move around. That's the version most of us were handed, and it's the least of them. Being in charge is people genuinely following you, not your title, what you're doing, and how you do it. It's being able to command attention when you want it and being able to deflect it when you don't. It's having enough money that nobody can make you do anything and then using that for things that are kind and decent and centered on love and joy, things that make the world better for the people living in it right now and keep making it better for a very long time after they're gone. That's the real thing. A screen full of agents or AI employees talking to each other is nowhere on that list. If that landed, send this episode to the person you thought of while I was saying it. They need to hear somebody else say it out loud. So here's your 10 minutes. Take one thing you've automated or one thing you're about to. Write out every step you actually run. Then go back through and mark each one. Something real depends on it. Being wrong is expensive, or a person used to need it. Let me do one with you. I'll use mine. Getting booked to speak used to eat a whole Saturday. I'd search for conferences, find the ones still taking speakers, track down who ran them, read the rules, which were different every time, write a pitch, rewrite it for the next one. Keep a list of what I sent and when things were due. 7 steps. Now ask the 2 questions on each one. Does something real depend on this? Is it expensive to get wrong? No. And no. Every single one.
They were all there because a person had to do them. That's the only reason. None of them were holding anything up. The pitch surprised me. Writing it felt like the part that was mine. It wasn't. It was mine until I wrote down my topics, my bio, and the rooms I want to be in. After that, it moved to. Then I added a step that was never there before. I read every pitch before it goes out. My name is on it. That one is expensive to get wrong. And the part that stayed mine was never on the list at all. Deciding if a room is right. Talking to the organizer when they call. The machine does the grind. The human does the connection. That line never moves. 8 hours became 5 minutes. Everything you put in that third group is time you can have back today. Not next quarter, today. That's more money because you're paying for capability and collecting a fraction of it every time the old way you did it survives. That's more time because the waiting was always the expensive part and most of it was never holding anything up. And that's more options because a system built around the outcome can be rebuilt when the outcome changes. And a system built like a traditional company can only be reorganized. My newsletter is free and it's at seedandsociety.com/newsletter. Every issue has one thing you can go do with AI. The same day you read it, grants and funding you can actually apply for with the deadlines attached. 6-figure AI jobs where the role itself isn't technical and open calls for speakers. If this one landed, rate the show wherever you're listening. If you message me after you have, I'll send you a bonus. It's free and it's the one thing that gets this to somebody who needs it. And send it to one person who's unknowingly building a digital version of the company they were trying to get away from. Until next time, continue planting the seeds for a better society.